Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening. This is the Highland Radio News at 5 o'clock. I'm Daniel Brennan. This evening's main headlines: a Donegal deputy accused the government of lacking forward planning for the health system. It comes as issues with booking a PCR test here have continued in many parts of the country today. It's averred that almost 6,000 HSE staff are absent from work due to COVID-19. The executive says it's a big concern for the health service, and they haven't seen this level of absence since late January. And a Donegal-based father of two found guilty of murdering his wife during a boating holiday will serve a minimum term of 20 years in prison. We'll have those stories in full and a lot more, as well as the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly and the latest farming news with Chris Ashmore, coming up for you within the next half hour. To our top story this evening, and the Donegal deputy has accused the government of lacking forward planning for the health system here as we head into a fourth wave of the COVID-19 virus. The comments came as issues with booking a PCR test have continued in many parts of the country today, with Donegal deputy Pierce Doherty also jokingly commenting it was easier to get a Garth Brooks ticket than a PCR test today. Speaking in the Dáil, Deputy Doherty said the government needs to step up the testing programme here, as they are asking the public to step up their efforts.
Tánaiste, I'm sure we've all seen the comments this morning in social media, the bit of banter about how it's easier to get Garth Brooks tickets in this state than it is to get a PCR test. Other postings saying that they've got Garth Brooks tickets willing to swap for a PCR slot. And while that might be a bit of light banter, the reality is very, very serious.
As we come into the winter period, you're always going to have an increase of respiratory illnesses. Like, we have this conversation every year. It's like deja vu. The problem here isn't the fact that we're in the winter period, we're in a flu period. The problem here is the government haven't planned. The government haven't planned for the increased capacity. Therefore, the majority of the state, you cannot get an appointment for a PCR test today. And I echo the comments that you made in relation to the public health advice, and people should follow the public health advice. But as we ask the public to step up, as we ask the public to make sacrifice, to isolate themselves, to stay away from family, to curtail their contacts, as we ask people who worked in the nighttime sector to close down that sector during periods, that they ask the government to step up. They ask the government to respond. So we need to increase capacity. We need an all-hands-on-deck approach. There is no guarantee that in January we won't have additional need for PCR tests. Where is the plan, Minister? Where is the plan in relation to additional capacity so that these counties can book a test if the need be? And when are you going to come forward with a plan in relation to antigen testing?
In response to Deputy Doherty, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar said that no country could cope with the demand that's being experienced here for PCR testing. Leo Varadkar says those who have been referred by a GP for a test and symptomatic close contacts are being prioritised to get tests first.
The problem that we're facing is that we have a pandemic that is not under control and a pandemic that is unpredictable. We have capacity to carry out about 30,000 PCR tests a day in our swabbing centres and even more than that in our laboratories. But there are limits to capacity in any system, in any country. So where you have a situation where on any given day there could be hundreds of thousands of people with respiratory symptoms, there's no capacity that could deal with that or cope with that. And that's why we have to prioritise. And it's not for the first time we've had to do this in the pandemic. From time to time we have to prioritise testing those who need the test most. And we are prioritising those with a GP referral and also symptomatic close contacts of people who have COVID. And from time to time, NPHET has had to change the testing criteria, and that may be necessary again because there's only so much capacity you can possibly have in any testing system, and that's no different north of the border. It's no different in other parts of Europe and the world as well. In terms of what you say about capacity, I think it's worth anyone who's interested in facts, and there are some people at least interested in facts, to read Health in Ireland Key Trends 2021 published by the Department of Health the other day. We've been increasing the number of hospital beds in Ireland since 2015. We have 900 more beds today than we had before the pandemic began. There are 600 people in COVID hospital. We have 44% more doctors in Ireland than we had 10 years ago. We have 300 now, and we funded for 300.
Almost 6,000 HSE staff are absent from work due to COVID-19. The executive says it's a big concern for the health service and that they haven't seen this level of absence since late January. Chief Clinical Officer at the HSE, Colm Henry, says the situation is tough on already exhausted medical staff.
The whole healthcare system under quite significant strain at the moment, with limited capacity despite the extra surge capacity we've been trying to put in, and of course dealing with the backlog, or at the backdrop, as Anne described, of almost 6,000 staff now absent on COVID-related leave, which places an additional strain on an already exhausted workforce.
Also, the HSE has said today it's obvious that people are responding to new restrictions regarding working from home, as well as its advice to cut social contacts. Latest figures show that 65% of ICU admissions last week due to COVID-19 were people who were not vaccinated. Today, there are less than 600 people in hospitals for the first time in 11 days, while 126 patients with the virus are now in ICUs. HSE Chief Executive Paul Reid says there needs to be a prolonged response from the public, however.
We're seeing a very strong response from the public over the last week, 10 days in particular. Many people, and it's very obvious, now have moved to work from home, and certainly many people have planned their curtailed activities. This will be needed for a sustained period of time, and we need to continue all of the actions.
A Donegal-based father of two, found guilty of murdering his wife during a boating holiday in County Fermanagh, will serve a minimum term of 20 years in prison. 44-year-old Stephen McKinney, a native of Strabane who had been living in Convoy with his family, killed his wife Luna McKinney in April of 2017. After his sentencing, police have today reassured victims of domestic abuse that their cases will be taken seriously and investigated thoroughly. Greg Hughes has more.
Speaking outside Belfast Crown Court today, Detective Superintendent Eamon Corrigan said on Wednesday, April 12, 2017, Stephen McKinney took his family on a boating trip on Lough Erne. Luna would never return alive. Her children would return without their mother. Following a 999 call from Stephen McKinney stating his wife had fallen into the water and he could not find her, a thorough police investigation ensued. Now, he concluded, through the testimonies of expert witnesses who used groundbreaking techniques, McKinney has been sentenced today. He urged anyone who feels trapped in an abusive relationship to come forward, promising that police will robustly investigate all allegations of abuse and fully support people through the criminal justice process.
Donegal County Council has passed its draft budget for 2022 by 33 votes to 2. Independent councillors Frank McBurdy Jr. and Micheál Colum McGilla Aspig were the only two councillors to vote against it. Meanwhile, Council Chief Executive John McLaughlin has said that claims made by Councillor McGilla Aspig in the course of his submission to today's meeting will be investigated. He said a transcription of the comments made in Irish will be obtained and fully translated, and Councillor McGilla Aspig will then be asked to submit his evidence. Carlock Councillor Jack Murray says today's budget was the culmination of a very long process in which members were centrally involved.
The work has been done, very much done so in the last number of months across every local area. The council have engaged with the members twice in both areas. We've obviously met with parties, different individuals, and every member has got their input. We even had a plenary workshop just last Monday where any query was able to be answered, and every issue that the councillors want raised could be included in the budget. And thankfully, the overwhelming majority of councillors elected today felt that their input was taken on board. The budget reflected as much as possible the issues and concerns that they wanted to see addressed, and the mandates that every councillor in Donegal received has been reflected upon within that budget, albeit at a very, very challenging time. Obviously, we can't achieve everything, absolutely everything that we can, but in these difficult circumstances, I think it's the best possible budget we could have put together.
You and the officials barely get a chance to breathe, and next Monday you're back at it again for both the plenary council meeting and indeed the council capital budget, so a way to go perhaps before you can take a break.
Yeah, but I look forward to Monday's meeting. Today we agreed a revenue budget of over 162 million euro. On Monday we're putting together a capital budget of over 200 million euro. So when you put that all together, it's a huge, huge amount of money, which a huge amount of good can be done. Again, I said I know that it's a very, very difficult time and people going through different challenges, but I think when we work together as a team and as a council, we can deliver a lot of good with the resources that we have at our disposal.
That was Donal Kavanagh speaking to Donegal County Council Carlow Councillor Jack Murray. The European Medicines Agency has approved a COVID vaccine for 5 to 11-year-olds. They've given the green light for children that age to get a reduced dose of the Pfizer jab. The National Immunisation Advisory Committee here will now decide whether to adopt the EMA's advice. And that news comes as NPHET were today discussing extending the wearing of masks to primary school children. Marco Cavallari from the European Medicines Agency says the benefits of the vaccine for young children far outweigh the risks, as there's been a specific dose designed for young children.
This is based on a different dose than the one used in adults, essentially is a much lower dose. Member states are then able to decide on how to use this vaccine in children as part of their vaccination campaign.
Derry City and Strabane District Council has been urged today to back calls for a new inquiry into the disappearance of Arlene Arkinson. The 15-year-old schoolgirl went missing after a disco in Bundoran in 1994, and her body was never found. An inquest into Arlene's disappearance recently concluded that she was abducted and murdered by notorious child serial sex offender and convicted murderer Robert Howard. This has led to Arlene's family calling for the establishment of a full public inquiry into the RUC's investigation into her disappearance. A motion is to be brought to council today on the issue by Councillor Rory McHugh.
Her family was let down so badly by multiple agencies in the north, ranging from the original RUC investigation right through to the judicial system and the public prosecution service, which through their inadequacies allowed Robert Howard, who the coroner found had murdered Arlene, they allowed him to roam free across these islands, where he continued his offences and was ultimately convicted as well of the murder of Hannah Williams in England after he was acquitted of the murder of Arlene.
And I'm sure this fresh inquiry would also hopefully bring some form of closure to Arlene's family.
Well, a full public inquiry essentially is the last mechanism available to the Arkinson family, where possibly somebody who may have some sliver of information could come forward and ultimately could identify where Arlene's remains are secretly hidden. And ultimately that would bring full closure to the Arkinson family, who have been let down so badly by so many different agencies throughout Arlene's disappearance.
The time is now 12 minutes past 5 o'clock. We'll take a short break, and Sport with Oisin Kelly is coming up after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, where the Christmas Club is now open. Shop online 24/7 at michaelmurphysports.ie.
The time's now 16 minutes past 5 o'clock. Time to go over to the sports desk and Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Daniel. We're going to start with soccer. Manchester United are set to appoint Ralf Rangnick as their interim manager until the end of the season. The former RB Leipzig boss only signed a 3-year deal to be Lokomotiv Moscow's manager of sports and development in July. Talks with the Russian side about freeing up Rangnick are reportedly at an advanced stage. Celtic need a win in Germany this evening to keep alive hopes of progressing to the Europa League's knockout phase. They're away to Bayer Leverkusen. That one starts in just under a half an hour's time at 5:45. Celtic also need Real Betis to drop points at home to Varnavaros. West Ham have already guaranteed top spot in Group H. They are away to Rapid Vienna at 5:45. Leicester go into tonight's game at home to Legia Warsaw, bottom of Group C, while Rangers are in Prague to take on Sparta. That game is in Group A. In the Conference League, Tottenham are in Slovenia as they play Mura from 5:45. Republic of Ireland's Matt Doherty has been named to start for the very first time in a side by manager Antonio Conte. The Republic of Ireland take on Slovakia in a World Cup ladies qualifier at the Tallaght Stadium tonight. Kickoff is at 7 o'clock. Katie McCabe has been past fit to play for the girls in green as they bid to make it 2 wins out of 2 in the group after their recent victory in Finland. Donegal players Amber Barrett, Kira Grant and Roma McLaughlin are all part of the Irish squad. Well, the Northern Ireland Liddies had a big one today as they thrashed North Macedonia by 11 goals to nil in their qualifier. The victory moves Kenny Shield's side level on points with second place Austria in Group D. There's been another signing at the Brandywell. Derry City have signed Republic of Ireland under 21 goalkeeper Brian Maher. He's moved from Bray Wanderers to sign a 3-year deal with the Candy Stripes. Derry have already completed the signings of Michael Duffy, Patrick McElhinney and Will Patching this week. One game tonight in the Ulster Senior League. The leaders Bunnagee United are taking on Finn Harps under-21s. That game is at the Dry Arch Park and it kicks off at 8 o'clock tonight. Gaelic Games former Donegal player Paddy Campbell has joined the backroom team of the county senior setup. Campbell, who led Niamh Connell to club championship glory in 2005, has had various coaching and management roles in recent times in Derry and Tyrone, with his latest job with Owen Roe Lechpatrick. Campbell will work alongside manager Declan Boner and head coach Stephen Rochford. Donegal, of course, can return to inter-county training on December 8th. In cricket, the Ireland senior squad for the tour of the USA and the West Indies was named earlier today, and there's several Northwest Warriors players on board. William Porterfield, Andy McBrien, Shane Getcat, William McClintock and Craig Young have all been included. While Ireland have collected a first win of the Women's World Cup qualifying, they beat the Netherlands by 29 runs in a hour today, with captain Laura Delaney top scoring with 75. Next up for the Irish Lady Cricketers is a meeting with Sri Lanka, and that is next Monday. Tadhg Furlong has signed a new 3-year IRFU contract. The deal will extend his stay with Leinster until the end of the 2024-25 season. The Wexford native won his 50th cap for Ireland against Japan in this month's Autumn Nations Series. Niall Kearney is 5 off the lead after the opening day of golf's Joburg Open. He shot a 1-under par round of 70. When play was suspended, Jonathan Caldwell was level par with 2 to play. Angel Hidalgo and Ashley Chesters are the joint clubhouse leaders there at 6-under par. In snooker, Jordan Brown leads Dwayne Jones by 3-2 in the UK Championship first round match in York. Earlier, Fergal O'Brien was beaten 6-4 by Joe O'Connor. This evening, there's an all-Irish affair with Mark Allen going up against Michael Judge. Finally, just looking ahead to tonight's score programme. Tonight, there'll be a preview of the John Gorey Curran Cup final as Drumkeen battle Bunnagee United on Friday night. While the St Union's hurlers and the Downings footballers represent Donegal in this week's Ulster competition, we'll be hearing from both camps ahead of their respective provincial ties. It's all on the score programme tonight, just after the 7 o'clock news. Daniel.
Thanks, Oisín. Now it's time for this week's Farming News.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafoe Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll be getting an overview of the potato sector as consumption is set to increase in the busy period in the run-up to Christmas. But first, a new app to report badger activity has been launched this week called Badger Activity. It's available to download from the Department of Agriculture's website. Badgers are known to spread TB to cattle, and this app, developed as a further enhancement to the department's wildlife programme, will allow farmers to immediately report to the department signs of badger activity on their farms. Meanwhile, the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnell-Logue, this week chaired the first high-level implementation committee meeting of Ireland's new Food Vision 2030 strategy, which was launched by the government during the summer. Food Vision is a landmark strategy for the Irish agri-food sector and has the potential to transform our agriculture, food, forestry and marine sectors in the period to 2030 with sustainability at its core. The days are getting darker. Cold snap forecast ahead. Christmas just around the corner. Thomas McKeown, the chair of the IFA National Potato Committee, so one suspects we may be seeing an increase in the consumption of potatoes.
Absolutely, Chris. First of all, thanks very much for contacting me about this. You see it there, especially in the last week, the colder mornings, the darker evenings. I was actually in Donegal there a week or two ago, and
there were plenty of potatoes to be dug, but a lot has been dug in the last week or so, which is good. This time last year, the growers in Donegal were in shock and bother trying to dig, so it's great when we get all our harvest in. There's a great satisfaction when you have your harvest is in and safe in the store.
So, significantly for the producer, how are the prices at the moment?
Prices are okay. We would have had, sales have been slow in the last month because of the very mild weather we have had. We would have an issue with one or two multiples who have actually pulled the price a little, and which would be a concern because, Chris, the way it is, as you know, all commodities have risen in price with cost. In our sector, it's diesel, electricity on storage and fertiliser. The potatoes our growers have in store are going to buy the fertiliser we're going to use for next year's crop. And at the minute, they're talking 2.5 to 3 times the price of what we paid this year for fertiliser. So we'd like to see prices higher. And we would expect the prices will rise after Christmas.
Now, over the years, we've seen changing consumer trends and indeed preferences for different varieties also changing. Rooster still leads the way here?
It does. But yeah, as you say, potato, people are diversifying a little. I've spoken with it. Every time I've spoken to you, I've spoken about farmers diversifying. But there are more white varieties and that been growing now. I noticed myself there in the ground, we watched the supermarkets all the time. In the springtime this year, a lot more Maris Piper and potatoes like that, Cultra.
In terms of added value, another trend, we're seeing a lot more sort of prepared mash with little bits and pieces through it as well.
There's the mash. You have the crisps, the handmade crisps. You have, I know farmers who've diversified into making wedges, which is great. And you have to go out and get the market. And in fairness to them, they are looking, as you say, adding value to their product. And definitely, in the last 2 years, 5 or 6 new brands have been developed. I actually was in a multiple yesterday, and I couldn't believe the selection there is in frozen veg, frozen potatoes between your chips. There's 4 or 5 different sizes of cuts. There's wedges, and there's wedges with garlic and wedges, different flavours on it. So there's great opportunities.
And also at this time of year, restaurants and hotels are going to be serving a lot more. And again, this is a boost for the local producer.
True. The growers are diversifying. For years, it would have been supplied by mostly English potatoes, but imported potatoes. But the last few years, first of all, the chefs and that are looking for Irish produce, which is great. Rooster has got into that. It has yellow flesh and has got into that market. And also we have growers who now are growing for that market, and they're growing a certain variety, a certain dry matter texture that suits what's wanted. So as I say, it's another part of diversification.
If we look at the acreage, be it Donegal or over the country, you know, it does fluctuate a bit. Prices impact on people going in and out of the sector. Where are we at the moment?
We're not too bad, Chris. The last 4 years have been steady enough. This year, the acreage is up slightly on last year. It's actually nearly the same. It's just that there's more main crop instead of earlies this year. The yields might be up a little bit on last year, but last year we didn't have the service sector. We weren't able to supply the restaurants. That is there this year. So
when we compare the humble spud with the situation now with maybe 10, 20, 30 years ago, there's a lot more competition. There's a lot more pastas, alternatives out there. It's holding its own, and you've always stressed the point that when it comes to the nutritional qualities, it's probably underestimated just how good the potato is.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I'm from a real football area in County Meath, and I remember 10 or 15 years ago, the fad was the potatoes were fattening, and even at the training, lads have been told not to eat potatoes, but that has been turned around. Look, you have fads of diets and all that. We are eating potatoes in our diet for thousands and thousands, and there's a reason for it. You get the fads of doing this and the other, but every so often you come back to the main ingredients, your veg, your bit of meat, protein, stuff like that. And definitely, in the last few years, we've had the potato promotion going, it's a European-funded potato promotion going, and we've had some brilliant, brilliant results from it. We have stopped the decline in the consumption of potatoes. We've got the facts out there. Like, potatoes are good. There'll be more research done into it, and the results are out there, and definitely it's... I think that the Dublin football team were singing the praises of potatoes there over the last couple of years, and it's done them no harm.
And finally, the outlook for 2022?
Look, it's not looking too bad. We would have issues. I always stress Donegal was always known as a seed-producing county. Things have gone on the wane for the last 20 years. We would have an issue, a slight issue now with Brexit has caused issues and opportunities. With Brexit, we cannot bring in seed from Scotland that, unfortunately, we've been very reliant on for the last lucky years. And it is a great opportunity here, but I've been educated in the last 12 months or so. We just can't turn on a switch and we can grow all the seed here in Ireland. So, unfortunately, we are still looking to try and get seed from Ruth, from especially native varieties from Scotland until we can get our industry up and running here. But there is an opportunity, and as I say, Donegal will hopefully be one of the leading counties in it along with others.
And that was Thomas McKeown, chair of the IFA National Potato Committee. In other news, IFA President Tim Cullinan is calling on all retailers to ensure they are selling Bord Bia quality assured Irish pig meat. He says farmers are concerned about increased costs of production over the past 12 months and the volume of imported pig meat on shelves across the country. He also called on consumers to buy Bord Bia Irish produce in their weekly shop and support Irish farmers. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highland's Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union, Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Thanks, Chris. And now this evening's weather. Dry in many areas this evening, apart from some scattered showers, mainly near the north and northwest coasts. Blustery tonight with frequent showers and a fresh to strong gusty westerly wind with gales on north and northwest coasts. It'll be coldest early in the night with lowest temperatures of 1 to 5 degrees tonight. That's all from the Highland Radio News team for now. We'll have another news update for you at 6 o'clock, but until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 25th of November. The death has taken place of Marion Doherty, née Harkin, Ardahi, Inver. Her remains will repose at Gallagher's Funeral Home, Station Road, Mount Charles, from 7 o'clock this evening, with removal to her late residence at 8. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later. House private pleas to family and friends. Family flowers only pleas, donations in lieu of desired to the rehab unit, Letterkenny, care of Gallagher Funeral Directors, Mount Charles. The death has taken place in East Kilbride, Scotland, of Kathleen Logan, née Sweeney, formerly of Aranmore Island, Donegal. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later. The death has occurred of Dennis Boyle, John Tighe, Acres, Burton Port. His remains are reposing at his late residence. House private pleas to family, neighbours and close friends. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St. Columbus Church, Acres, followed by burial in Belcritch Cemetery. The death has taken place of Kay McGee, Ballyar, Rimelton. Her remains are reposing at her home, which is private to family only, please. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St. Angus's Church, Burt, with burial afterwards in Burt Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Patrick Sweeney, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Mary T. Coyle, 30, Dr. McGinley Road, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow to St. Eunan's Cathedral for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in Umla Old Cemetery, Carrigart. Wake and funeral are private to family and close friends, please. The death has taken place of Bridget McCaughan, Buchan Cooldaff. Bridget's remains are reposing at her home. Bridget's funeral mass will take place on Saturday morning at 11 in St. Mary's Church, Buchan Cooldaff, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Funeral mass can be viewed live on cooldaffparish.com. House private to family and close friends, please. The death has taken place of William Crawford, Ballycirren, Kilmacrennan. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral service tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock in Letcher Presbyterian Church, Kilmacrennan, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Funeral service can be viewed live on Patrick Sweeney Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to St. Joseph's Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Elizabeth Lizzie McConnell, née McEnany, 7, Columban Terrace, Strabann, and formerly of Corramore, Crana. Funeral from her home tomorrow morning at 20 past 9 for Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Millmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the St. Vincent de Paul Society, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. House private to family, neighbours and close friends only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on millmountparish.com. And the death has occurred of Seamus Green, Lochinure, Dunlow. His remains are reposing at Midlands Funeral Home with viewing until 6 o'clock this evening. Removal at 6 to his late residence. House strictly private, please, at the request of the family. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 12 noon in Star of the Sea Church, Annagry, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.